Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and we're talking Christmas history here with Alana Parker, Riley County Historical Museum director, newly installed director here of the museum, and we're going to be learning a little bit more about what Christmas was like here in Manhattan and in Riley County in 1855. It's always kind of fun to go down old memory lane. Of course, we don't have memories that back that far, but luckily, they documented some of this stuff, so we're going to hear a little bit more about Isaac Goodnow.
Yes, and that's what we are so fortunate at the Riley County Historical Museum. Generous donations where we have diaries and journals, so we can actually take a look back as early as 1855, and that's, of course, when Manhattan was founded and Riley County was founded. But specifically, as you mentioned, Isaac Goodnow and what he experienced and what he did during Christmas time. So this is from December 22nd, 1855, so leading up to Christmas. He said, "The coldest day of the season thus far, thermometer at 12 degrees at 1 o'clock p.m. And I will mention Isaac Goodnow was one of the first individuals in Kansas to take temperature readings of the or weather readings, excuse me. But 12 degrees at 1 p.m., a little on the chilly side. He said he plastered a little, worked on Hovel, very cold in the evening, made up our bed before the fire, snowed, and then he had visitors who called and dined. So then the next day, he said thermometer at sunrise, 3 degrees. Ellen, his wife, had a chill, coldest day yet, hard to keep warm. And then Christmas Eve, he said, very cold, thermometer below zero at noon, snowstorm at night, made a trap door in great improvement to the warmth. 6 inches of snow, I calculated, though much drifted. And then he goes into Christmas Day. So he says, Christmas, a very cool, still pleasant day. Thermometer at sunrise, 18 degrees. Such cold weather is rather discouraging to new settlers in their open cabins. 3 inches of snow in chamber, 1 hour's work to clear it. A thankful Christmas, but not a merry one." So in thinking about in 1855, what our environment looked like here in Riley County at the time, of course, trees were sparse. And then Isaac and Ellen, specifically, when they came here to Kansas, they're living in a dugout cabin. So that's what he's kind of describing. But to imagine the cold, when he's got the temperature readings here, 6 inches of snow. And it's, of course, as he describes, coming through their house and having to clear that off. So I think if you can visualize what that was like to be in the house at the time, you can see why he said a thankful Christmas, but not a merry one. And then the following year, so we do have, this is December 25th, 1856. He said, Christmas Day, we are invited out to Brother Dennison's, who was his brother-in-law. We are calculating to have a holy day for a wonder. It has been almost every day, either sickness or work. So he said, we have dined at Brother Dennison's on that turkey and other good things to match. But I think some of us can relate to that here recently, just with the way the year has gone. Almost every day with Isaac described sickness or work. So I think some of us, like I said, can relate to that today. It's either with things that are going on right now, it's just a lot of you're working, and then with kind of sickness going around, to have a break for Christmas time to enjoy family. I think we can relate to Isaac's sentiment there.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's interesting you hear about the complaints about the weather. You know, of course, that's going to happen no matter what time period you're living in here. But, you know, a lot of folks look forward to a white Christmas, but I imagine back in those days, it'd be a lot more work for you if you happen to get snow on Christmas time.
Absolutely. And that's what I really appreciate, being able to look back in time and read these diaries. It makes you appreciative of the time we're living in today, because as much as we love a white Christmas, we get to come inside to instant warmth with the heat indoors. So not the case for Isaac and Ellen. They had to go get firewood, which, of course, as I mentioned, trees were sparse. So it's a lot of work just to keep warm in 1855. But it's neat to see Isaac's comments on how they celebrated when that not a lot of detail in the celebration, but just kind of what it was like for them around Christmas time and how he viewed that.
Very nice.
So, and then we do have some of the early notes of how the community itself celebrated Christmas, and of course, with the Christmas tree. And I think everybody has their own way of decorating their tree, and there's different kinds of trees. You and I were talking about whether you have an artificial tree or a real tree. I know I have an aunt that she cannot wait to put her aluminum tree up every year with the light that spins. It has the four different colors and it reflects onto the tree. But early on, they actually had community trees, kind of like we have today if you look at New York City. And in fact, in New York City, it was 1912 was when the first community tree was put up. But before then, even here in Manhattan and Raleigh County, they had community trees starting in the 1870s. And so where those were put up were usually the churches. And so we do have some instances here talking about Christmas trees. So this was from the Manhattan Nationalist in 1873, talking about when they started to move into having family Christmas trees. It said, quote, "A number of our citizens will have family Christmas trees, and more is being done in the way of decorating with evergreens than ever before." And I think what this stems from, and it's just specifically here in Manhattan, when they had these community trees, they had an accident in one of the churches. This was in 1877. It said, "There was an accident at the Christian church on Christmas Eve caused by the tree falling and bringing down with it one of the lamps." And so subsequently, they had a fire in the church because of this tree falling and one of the lamps catching fire. So it's then later, this was the same day, so 1877, December 28th, several of the churches came to the conclusion that it was not the wisest thing in the world to have a Christmas tree for the whole church, but allow family gathering around the home tree. So that's kind of a fun difference there. Of course, we'd still have trees and Christmas trees in churches, but that moving here, you have a specific example for why it was prompted that they celebrate within the home instead of having a bunch of people gathered into the church around the tree. And of course, moving away from using open flame around a real Christmas tree.
Yeah,
that's kind of a fun story.
Yeah, not a good idea there, especially indoors. That's a crazy story, and I always loved hearing that one. We have a caller here that's standing by with a comment, so I want to get to them next. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes, right down in my diary, the Christmas a couple of years ago, we got to bring the Florida extended family up. And for Christmas with Grandpa, we sat over in the front of the Discovery Center and looked at the lights at night and while they were still open and listened to the music. And the family, extended family, is still talking about that, I've discovered. And what else are you going to do with Grandpa but build memories? Those are our memories that they'll just remember for years to come. Thank you for jogging our memory and expanding our horizons.
Oh, that's neat. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I think some of my favorite memories, too, are with my grandparents at Christmas time.
Absolutely. I remember, of course, we videotaped Christmas one year at my grandparents. I was like 3 years old. I don't think I was quite three. And just having that on video cassette. Recently got to resurface with that with my folks here over the internet. I think they got it digitally transcribed or whatever the process is on DVD. So, you know, going back and seeing those memories and looking back, it's always fun. You love going back in time and seeing that stuff.
Absolutely. You said you were 3 years old?
Almost. I think I was still two. My birthday's in February, so it would have been like 1987, I think, is when it was. So, a long time ago.
I'm going to want to see that.
I'll have to go look for it.
Okay. But yes, I think there's something very special about spending that time, especially with grandparents. My grandmother she baked cookies like nobody's business. I mean, I just remember she would make hundreds of Christmas cookies, probably 20 different kinds. And it's the food too that really sticks with you. There's something about that tie to memory with food around the holidays too, that's a special tradition.
Absolutely. We have another caller standing by. I believe Paul has a comment here, so let's get to Paul. Good morning. Yep. We got him there still. Go ahead. Well, he must have dropped off. Well, maybe Paul will give us a call back here in just a moment. Again, we're talking Christmas traditions and the history here in Riley County with Historical Museum Director Alana Parker. This is always a lot of fun. Obviously Christmas trees are a big reason. Could you tell us a little bit how the tree tradition started here?
Absolutely. Well, and we can go way back here. So it's actually Germany was credited with starting the Christmas tree tradition as we now know it today, around the 16th century, when trees were brought into the home then. So it was long thought that Martin Luther began the tradition of bringing a fir tree into the home as one of the first instances of that. So according to this history, late one evening, Martin Luther was walking home through the woods and he noticed how beautifully the stars were shining through the trees. So he wanted to share this beauty with his wife of the stars and the trees. So he cut down one of the fir trees, took it home, and then once he got it inside, he placed small lighted candles on the branches that he said would be a symbol of the beautiful Christmas sky. So that is one strong possibility of where that tradition started and the birth of the Christmas tree. But one of the first recordings of bringing the tree within the home was in the 1830s, specifically here in the United States by German settlers in Pennsylvania. So from there, and of course I mentioned earlier, across the pond, so Queen Victoria, she had a lot of influence over what was happening here in the United States. So if the royals were doing something, it was reported back here to the United States. And of course, people would want to emulate what she was doing. And one of my favorite examples, and I think I've shared this before, and it's not Christmas related, but just provides an example of how closely here in the United States, they were following what Queen Victoria was doing. In the Manhattan newspapers, this was in the 1880s, it said Queen Victoria had tabooed the wearing of bangs on your forehead, so we should do the same. So something as simple as that, if Queen Victoria said it, we better do it here, was kind of the sentiment sometimes, which isn't very different from what we see today. I know every time I go through the checkout line at the grocery store, if you look at the tabloids, at least one of them you'll see on the cover of those magazines, you'll see the royal family. So Queen Victoria had a strong influence on the Christmas tree popularity here in the United States. So in 1846, Queen Victoria and Albert were sketched in the Illustrated London News standing with their children around a Christmas tree. So unlike the previous royal family, Victoria was very popular with her subjects. And what was done in court immediately became fashionable, as I mentioned. So not only in Britain, but it did make its way here to the United States. So American families started adopting the Christmas tree more widely after 1850, when the Philadelphia-based magazine Godey Ladies Book republished the royal family's Christmas scene from the Illustrated London News in the magazine. But the magazine made a few tweaks to it, editing out Victoria's crown and Albert's royal sash to transform them into, quote, one version of an American family. So that's a perfect example there, how just the power of placing the royal family in American magazines really influenced. So families would see it, would make its way out west here to Kansas. So residents of Manhattan and Riley County were, of course, reading these magazines too, the Godey's Ladies Book. And then they would start bringing those Christmas trees into the home as well. And then by the 1890s, Christmas ornaments were arriving from Germany and Christmas tree popularity was on the rise in the U.S. So it was really by the turn of the century, it was a very grounded tradition in having a Christmas tree inside the family home. And I did want to share one example here quickly. So this is from the Manhattan Nationalist. This is in 1870. It said Honorable C.B. Lines at Waubunsee probably had the largest family Christmas tree in the state. There were gathered at his house 6 married children and 12 grandchildren besides other relatives. The presents on the tree, numbered 350, is there another family in the state that can equal this? So imagining that, excuse me, they had 350 gifts on the Christmas tree, which at that point they were using different foods that they would put on the tree and gifts, but 350, that's quite, to be able to have a picture of that would be phenomenal, but trying to visualize that. But I thought that's a fun example of one Christmas tree tradition here in the area.
Yeah, that is quite interesting. And it seems like, you know, a lot of times they use the word on the tree. I think they did. They would hang the presents on the tree, whereas nowadays we put the presents under the tree.
Right, absolutely. And so they were trimmed. They would, in ornaments, but the gifts, so they would have candy, fruit, nuts were popular. Of course, stringing popcorn. I don't know if you've ever strung popcorn. I remember doing that in grade school, but I don't think I've done that since then. I'm not sure how many people still string popcorn to put on the Christmas tree. But that was also popular during the 1870s that they would do that here in the area as well.
We have another caller waiting here patiently, so this might be Paul. Go ahead. You're on In Focus.
Yes, I have another call. I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask you, which house do we consider that was the original Kimball house? The one on Mary Kendall Court, the one on Browning, or the one over there by the museum?
Well, that's a great question, because there's the Kimball, K-I-M-B-L-E, and then the Kimball, K-I-M-B-A-L-L. And I apologize, I'll have to look into that a little bit more to see which one actually, when you say the original one, but those families were very prominent here in Riley County. And thank you, that's a great question. I will definitely have to look into that and see what we can find. And somebody out there might actually would know which one was the first one, but yes, there are, that family is pretty prolific here in the area. So we'll definitely have to take a look into that.
All right. Time to take a break. Back more here with Alana Parker in a moment on News Radio KMAN.